Thank you again for your love for this beautiful day. All these young people that are here, we ask that you keep them safe and really allow your spirit to work in their lives while they're here. We're thankful for such opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, the first U word is unique. I don't think you need to be convinced that you're unique. You all are. You all think differently. I think that God is absolutely incredibly amazing and that he keeps creating people that look different through all time. There are certain characteristics that are the same, but they're not the same. They're put somehow different so that when you think about it, if I asked you to create 4 billion people with eyes, nose, ears, how could you come up with a variable for each? And yet God has done that. Now there are people that kind of look like each other, obviously. After a while, you know, the noses are going to be the same or something in some people. But really the Bible teaches us that we're all unique. We're all different in a good way. Which means that when you try and be the same, you're wrecking what God made. What you need to do is enjoy the differences. We were just talking, I can't spell worth a lick. I can't. There's certain things. Linda will try and teach me in a sentence when she proofs something, say, do you see why this is, should have a comment? No. I don't even see it. Well, let me teach you. She can teach me until she's blue in the face, and I'm not going to remember it next time. I don't know why that is. There are other people that get it. When it comes to math, believe it or not, I freeze just like I do anything else. I got to count on my fingers, get a calculator out, whatever. No matter how simple the problem is, I got to. Some of you might be thinking, well, what in the world are you teaching for? Well, we all have our disabilities. We all do. I teach, I live in the world of thought, of ideas, not of spelling and grammar. And ideas are never as exact as spelling. Well, English language, that's not exact either. The bottom line really is, you have to at some point in your life embrace who you are, who God made you to be. And say, okay, you made me to be this way, and I'll guarantee you that he will probably use you somehow in your field of weakness. And some will say, no, you should use in your strength. Well, your weakness can become your strength. I mean, if for me or for anybody, if you can't do something, what do? You depend on someone else. You depend on God to do it for you. Being unique means that you have been created as a part of the body of Christ. Whether you be a finger or a knee or a toe, skin, hair, whatever, you're part of the body. And in order for the body to actually function correctly, you need to function as that part. If you start to function as another part, we can't function correctly anymore. It's important that you are the way you are. In 1 Timothy 4, it talks about leaders that really have, they value their daily disciplines, which makes you unique. In other words, today, when you got up, if you're a leader, you had a routine you went through already. Leaders understand the importance of routine and discipline in their lives. So today, you know, when I got up, you know, you shower, that kind of stuff, but then I have a time where I study, and I study where nobody's around in my house in a certain spot. There's a routine I follow. Why do I follow it? Because I know that later in the day, I don't control those factors. I don't control who's going to come and who's going to go. I don't control radios on people's hips. I don't control any of that. Instead, I respond to things the rest of the day. And so I need to be ready. Let me read 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone, and you've heard this verse before, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. A lot of us stop there and say, yeah, don't think less of me because I'm young. Well, finish the verse. There are certain things that will make you unique in that verse. It says, first of all, be an example to all believers. Be an example. In other words, everyone that's up here, this would make you unique. If you lived your life in a way where everybody could follow you, and if they follow you, they'll be following Christ, that would make you unique. See, or the word holy in the Bible you could use as well. But the bottom line really is, this verse says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but then it gives you the qualifiers on why. Number one, you're living in a way where people could follow you. And if they follow you, they'll love God. So it says, be an example to all believers in what you teach. All right, I have teach in red. Why? Because it would make you unique if you're thinking about living a life that actually taught. In other words, today, you're looking around camp and trying to figure out who you can teach. I don't know, is it you, Emery, who was talking to somebody in the dining hall, in the kitchen, about something?
I'm my brother.
Yeah, okay. So I'm walking by Emery, and she's talking to him about something that sounded somewhat serious.
Yeah, he told me he's going to real college before he goes to
India. Okay, so they had a good discussion. But here's the deal. The deal was simple. She was using an opportunity to talk to her brother. In other words, what we do is if we're unique and we're leaders, we live in a way where people can follow us, but we also open our mouth and talk about it. And that makes you unique. Some people say, I'll just live. Some people say, I'll just talk. No, you live in a way and you talk. So don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you teach in the way you live. In the way you live. So in other words, you don't have a private life. You need to be an example in your life. One of my favorite phrases is go out and love God and do it in public. In other words, love God, but let people see you do it. We're not ashamed of God. It'd be like if Linda came in here and I didn't want any to know who she was and I was ashamed of her. Or if you're dating somebody and you're ashamed of them. That doesn't work. You want to love God, and you want to love God in public. You want to make sure that people understand how you live. So you need to allow yourself to be seen in how you do things. Now, isolation is something you were never made to live in. Man was not made to live alone. God created woman. You weren't made to be in isolation. You're made to be in a body. See, different parts of the body do different things. You're made to be. Don't isolate yourself. You need to be. Why? For a couple reasons. Number one, it's hard to be an example to people if you're isolated. Number two, it's hard to have accountability if you're isolated. Number three, you're going to be really lonely if you're isolated. And you weren't meant to be that way. So you want to live your life. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example of what you teach and what you live. In your love. Be an example in your love. How do you do that? Well, love somebody. Love everybody. You're told to do two things. Love God, love each other. Love God, obey Him. Okay, that's understood. Love each other. Do the young people that come here this summer, do they see you differently? Do they see that you look at people for ways to make them successful and that you work at it? I mean, do they see that? There was a couple of boys here last week that in our club, and these boys, I would label them as high energy. And one of them, before he left, I was kind of snickering because I was eating with him for brunch, and well, I wasn't eating with him, but he was chasing me all over. And he had three helpings of brunch, of a plate full of bacon and cinnamon rolls. And I thought, whoa, three plates of bacon and cinnamon rolls. And these plates were not small. They were piled pretty good. So what's interesting is Mom came and I said, boy, he had a great time. And by the way, he had three plates of cinnamon bacon rolls. Have fun on the way home. I mean, that'll be interesting. What's interesting to me is that boys like that that have a tremendous amount of energy, they certainly need it steered. We certainly need to watch over them. But I always ask God, what does he have that energy for? What can he do with that? I'll bet you there's something that if that got harnessed, oh my goodness, that could be absolutely phenomenal in where it goes and what it does. But what we like to do is drug it so it stops. And we like to make it so that they don't have that kind of energy. I'm not sure we should do that. Maybe we should celebrate that kind of energy. Yes, I know we have to watch them more carefully, and yes, they get in trouble real fast. But see, that's a gift. It isn't a curse to have energy. It might be when you're little and you don't know how to do anything with it. What am I doing by telling you that? I'm showing you how you love in public. That's how you do it. You look at somebody, and instead of thinking, what a pain you are, we need to drug you and calm you down, we think, no, instead, we need to figure out how we can take that energy you've got and use it, because God didn't make a mistake by giving it to you. See, we need to be examples in the way we teach, in the way we live, in our love, examples in our faith. Would anybody know that you have faith at all in anything? How do you be an example in your faith? Well, you live that. You live as if God actually loves you and you know Him and you make decisions based on what's in God's Word, not necessarily what the world says. In other words, If you're noticing here, a leader has to continually include other people in their life. Because you can't be an example in isolation. You can't do that. You have to keep being somebody who puts others in their life. Through the years, there have been couples that couple up here at camp, and that's sweet. But as they do, and they come to me for advice, I'll say, great, but when you're going to be alone in public. Why? Because that way you can be alone in public, you can be talking to that other person, and while you're alone in public, you can be demonstrating to everybody else how two people love God act. You see, what you want to do is you want to have your faith on display. You want to talk to people about what they're going to do with their lives and talk about what you're doing with your life. Talking about faith is one thing. Living it is another. We need to be an example. Teach, live, love, faith, and your purity. Faith in your purity. Of all people, if you want to be a leader, everybody you meet needs to feel safe. And safe in the way emotionally safe, sexually safe, they need to be safe. You guys are in a really crazy world where very few people are safe. If you love Jesus and you want to demonstrate who he is to people, then you need to live in a way where when you are around them, they feel the safeness of God. That's why sexual purity is in there. Because there are so many predators out there. There are so many that think of only themselves and using people, and we as believers don't do that. So if you don't want people to look down on you because you're young, then while you're young, you need to be an example of what you teach, live, love, faith, and purity. If you're not an example for there, then don't tell somebody not to look down on you. Because what you're doing is you're allowing your youth to dictate you rather than your brain. You see, if you're going to be an example, you calm that down. I just told you an example of a camper who's young and he's third grade, that kind of thing, kind of off the wall. Well, he's a guy that is off the wall. I'm not going to put him in charge of a lot of things yet. When he gets older, would he? Would I? Possibly. Depending on what area. Maybe I'd have him teach how to run for 10 miles without stopping, you know, or something. But something that we could have him do. You have to decide. Then it says, 14th verse, don't neglect the spiritual gift that you received. Don't neglect what God gave you to do. Each of you does something different. Each of you has a passion in a different way. God put it there. I still think that if you find God's will in your life, what you're going to do is you're going to find something you would do for nothing, and you would do it. And some of you, that's running a business. Some of you, that's working in a factory. Some of you, that's, you know, teaching. Some of you, whatever it might be. But God made you a certain way where when you find it, you will love it. Notice I didn't put money in there or anything else because that's not included. There will be money, but I don't know if there's going to be a lot or a little. The truth of the matter is, because you've decided to be an example, and because you're not neglecting the gift God gave you, and God gave you different gifts, then what happens is you begin to give complete attention to the development that God's putting in your life. Verse 15, give your complete attention to these matters. Boy, that's pretty, like, inclusive. Give your entire attention to this. To what? To be an example how you teach, live, love, faith, purity, and not neglecting your gift. You do that, nobody should look down on you. You don't do that, then don't quote that verse. Because that's out of context. It's just taking a single line. And then it says, give your complete attention to these matters. Listen to the next line. Throw yourself into the task so everybody sees your progress. Throw yourself into it so people can see you excel. Allow people to watch you. You know why we don't do that? Because we're so afraid that if we tell someone to watch us, they'll see a failure. Yeah, they will. We're human. We're not going to fail. If I ask you to watch me, then what I have to do when I fail is show you how to go through failure. Not tell you excuses, why, whatever else, but here's how you go through that. And even in failure, do you know that there's many people your age who grew up in homes, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything, but they grew up in homes where they've never seen an older male admit they were wrong and say they're sorry. So how in the world are the younger guys going to learn how to admit they're wrong and say they're sorry? See, we need to learn how to be an example. Everybody is going to make mistakes. They're going to do stupid things. It's not the goal, but when it happens, you need to recognize them and you need to go forward with it. Throw yourself into these tasks so everyone will see your progress. Hopefully in life, they will see that you have changed as you have gone along. Being here all the years of camp, there are some people that were here when I was young at camp, and I was a different guy then than I am now. I have some that knew me well in college, and I was a different person then than I am now. I don't know how many guys in college when I played football and hockey would come and they'll see him many years later up here and they'll say, I can't believe you're doing this. Why? Well, because you used to just wipe people out on the football field, do this. And yeah, no, that was just part of my life. But see, what happens is life changes. And you grow and you develop. Throw yourself into the task so everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Isn't that interesting? Keep a close watch on yourself and your teaching. Why are you asked to do that? Why are you asked to keep a close watch on yourself and your teaching? Because you can deceive yourself. And your teaching can start to go askew. And what will your teaching do? It'll start to back how you live rather than truth. So be careful. Because we all do that. We all start changing the Bible to say what we want it to so it reflects how we want it to say it rather than what it says. So be careful to watch. I tell you, if you live this way, and it ends up saying, stay true to what is right, and God will save you and those who hear you. And that word save doesn't always mean heaven. It means save you from all kinds of other grief in life as well. This would make you very unique. If you applied this verse to your life, where basically you were an example in what you taught, lived, loved, faith, purity, you did not neglect the gifts that God's given you, you give your complete attention to them, you throw yourself in it, and you allow people to watch you change, then nobody should think or look down on you in your youth. Because you're very unique. You're very different than other people. In Psalm 139, one of the important verses that you will ever say as you think about this is, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. It is so important for you to be able to come to God and say, God, search my heart. Why? Because you will lie to yourself. I will lie to myself. You know, I don't know how many times. I'm glad I had a coach in high school, one of my coaches, that basically I was trying to be a swimmer. I was trying to throw discus on track. I was trying to play hockey. And I was trying to play football. And so the football coach didn't like that. That was too much, too much. You're doing too much. However, the other coach, the swimming coach, came to me and said, you're not going to be a pro athlete at anything. Whoa, stab me, go ahead. Why don't you go and enjoy all these sports and go ahead and do that? And I thought, no, that's true. I'm not going to be a pro. I know some pro athletes and I've been around them, and I'm telling you something, they are freaky good. And you know that they're freaky good from the time they're like born. They're just different. That's how weird good they are. Was I good? I wasn't freaky good. I just played with some intensity and did that kind of stuff, but I didn't have their freaky goodness. I mean, I swam with guys who they didn't work out. They were party guys. They hit the water, and they beat me by a lot just because they were so good at what they did. I mean, it was like they were gifted at it. And I worked hard and hard and hard, and they still beat me. I thought, this is not right. No. See, there's a freaky good out there. Those guys and those ladies, they can become professionals at something. I am not diminishing the fact that they have to work hard, because once you're freaky good, you still got to work hard to beat the other freaky good people. I mean, that's how you have to do it. But the truth of the matter is, it was nice that I had a coach one day that said, you know what, why don't you learn all the sports? Because you're not that freaky good at any of them. And I thought, good. And I enjoyed hockey, and I enjoyed football, and I enjoyed swimming, and I enjoyed track for very little. I didn't like throwing at things, so I quit. But I enjoyed it to a certain degree. And now today, my background is much more varied. I never did play baseball, though, and many of you know why. 1 Corinthians 9. I just never was any good at it. So, 1 Corinthians 9 says, remember, you're in a race. And by the way, everybody's in a race. That's what it says. So what makes you unique? You run like you're going to win the race. You don't just run to run. That's what the verse says. You're not just here. You know, I speak at a men's retreat often, and once in a while I'll ask the men, what's your goal in life? Got to have a job, got to have a, okay, why? Because I got to provide money, why? Because my family needs to eat, why? Sound like a 3-year-old, you know, why? Because they got to stay alive, why? You know what their goal eventually is? They stay alive till they die. And I said, well, that'll happen. That's a great goal. You need to have more than that as a goal. And what's interesting here is what 1 Corinthians 9 is saying, run your life in a way that actually matters, like you're going to win this thing. Because you are if you're a believer. So run it that way, like you're going to win it. When we used to go to an opposing team's football field, the first thing that I did with some others, and eventually the team did it, was I just walked around the whole perimeter of the field. And I walked around at least once, maybe twice. And what I was doing during that time in my own head was saying, I'm claiming this dirt. This is ours. This is mine. This is my home turf right here. You're not taking me away from here. I'll do what I want here. Now, good or bad or ugly, it didn't matter. See, what I was doing was saying, I'm going to be on this ground with a very purpose to win on this ground. I don't care if it's your ground. I'm taking it away from you right now. It's my ground. And I'm going to go play as if I want to win. Dumb or smart, I don't know. But the mentality of it was simple. I don't want to go out there and say, well, yeah, you have an advantage because it's your place. I'm turning it to our place. It's just dirt like our dirt, and we're going to be able to take you on in your own area. See, I want to run in a way that we win. I don't want to go out there. Our football coach in college had the same play to win. I thought, duh. You know, why else would you play? But believe it or not, there's a lot of people out there that play to play. That's fine. Except for that's not why you play games. You play to win. Now, that doesn't mean you're a bad loser, by the way. You congratulate people when they beat you because they're better than you at that, whatever it might be. But you don't play to just fill time. You don't play to just play. You play to win. That's what makes you different. There are people out there, believe it or not, they're playing life to play. They're playing games to play. They're not playing to win. And by the way, winning is defined differently in different games. If I go out now and play a game, I'm old. So I'm thinking about, how do I win? You know how I win? By making you better at your game now. Not by me going out there and trying to win. But if I know something, I could teach you or give it to you, that kind of thing. Now I'm a winner in a way. Now I kind of cheer you on and you win. What happens if you lose? You lose legitimately. That's part of learning how to live. There are people that will beat you on any given day, in any given thing. Run in a way that you'll win. Joshua 1:7. Remember what he said, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all that my Moses servant gave you. Be careful to do according to all. You know what? If you do, if you have that sheet and you go back and look at it tonight, what you're going to see is that if you do these things, if you are somebody who lives their life as an example to teach, live, love, faith, purity, you don't neglect your gift. You give complete attention to these matters. You throw yourself into your tasks. You allow people to watch you so they can see how you grow. You ask God to search your heart because you know you can lie to yourself, and you ask other people to watch you, and you're honest about it. And you live in such a way that you actually expect to win. And you're careful to know everything God said that you can know, and you obey it. I'm telling you, you're going to have a life that's very fruitful, and there's no reason for anybody to look down on your youth. If you neglect God and you just live for yourself, then don't throw this verse around. Because you're not unique then, you're like everybody else. Believers are not like everybody else, they're like Christ, and there's very few that are like him. But that's our goal. So the word of the week, and I'm not going to get to the second word, but the word of the week is unique. And Thursday we'll get on to another U word, but I want you to be thinking all week, how, am I unique? Am I a 1 Timothy 4, 12-16 person? Am I somebody who is positioned so that I can live in a way that actually matters and God will be glorified? That'll be unique if you do that. And that's the way you were made, and you'll find out that that's the way you should be. So let me pray. Father, again, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this group. Continue to use them, convict them, draw them close to yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen.